A Problem Shared with Tony and Val on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony and Val McGilley with us on the line. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Jerry, and good morning, listeners.
Good morning to you.
Thanks for joining us this morning. We have a listener getting in touch, and if anyone wants to get in with queries to Tony and Val, get them into us now on any of our numbers. I was elected as chairman of a committee for several years. A new chairman was elected last year. I agree with that decision and totally understand why, but I'm finding it very hard to let go. In my own head, as it were, and continually replaying events in my head, this is causing me lots of questioning and pain. I want to stop this. I know a chairman can't go on forever. That time of being replaced has to come, but nothing prepared me for the drop. How can I finish with these irrational thoughts?
Tony?
Well, the first thing I would say, they're not at all irrational. They're very, very normal. And it hits us in different ways. Basically, what you're suffering from is loss and grief. And loss and grief hits us not just when somebody dies, but if we, you know, get sick and we're not recovering, if we lose a limb, if we lose a friend, or when we lose a job. And if you identified yourself very much with being chairman of this organization, it's going to hit you. Now, that said, it passes, and you're already in the first stage or second stage, and it will over time begin to, you know, find its own place, put it better. Val is actually an expert in loss and grief, so I think I'll hand it over to Val.
Okay, I agree with what you say, Tony. Listener, I do not think they're irrational thoughts, and as Tony was saying, I'm very impressed by your thinking. You know what's going on. You've analysed it, and you also said nothing prepared me for the drop. So, and you wanted to stop. So, some practical ways, I think, is first of all, distract yourself when you find that, like, these thoughts are going around and around your head. Like, do polishing, go for a walk, read a book, do a crossword, whatever. You don't indulge them. And there's a thing called thought stopping. And it can go something like this, like, it would have been, if I could have been the chairman for life, it would have been great. But that's irrational, which you've already come to the conclusion of. Therefore, I can get over this. I will get over this.
Yeah. Is this why so many people in positions of power refuse to let go sometimes, Val? They can't handle the feeling of the idea that it is even a drop, shall we say?
Yeah. You mentioned the word drop. I think this, you know, like, you know, nothing prepared me for the drop. I remember somebody who was anxious about retiring when he was working. So he put in place a lot of things that he would do when he would retire, the drop, as it were. And I think sometimes it's in hindsight that we kind of cop, oh, I need to do this. So I would say to this listener, now that you've had this, and I think you're handling brilliantly. I, like Tony, I think fair cop to you, boy, or whoever it is, woman or boy.
Yeah,
and if there's other drops to come, be prepared in whatever way you can. And I don't think we can be prepared the whole lot, but like, if I find myself experiencing the drop and experiencing these recurrent thoughts which are getting me down, think, well, what can I do about it? Ask that question. What do I need to do about this to stop?
One of the things you can do is to prepare some sort of activity in your life, artistic, whatever, building stuff, gardening, whatever. But think about activities that you can insert into your life that will take up some of the energies that you were giving to this committee. And that is the most useful way, I think, anyway, of overcoming loss and grief like that.
Do you have to?
And I think if there are people in my life that are managing well or seem to me to be managing the drop well, consult with them. Like, ask, have you any suggestions of what I can do when the drop comes for me?
Yeah, yeah. Is there anything to be said, Tony, for reframing it in your own head if you're leaving a position like this, that thinking like, well, don't think of it as a drop. It's just a period of time that's now over, or is that too difficult to do?
Yeah, regardless, if somebody like that is really, really into what they're doing, and it becomes literally becomes their life, they put most of their energy into it. It's not easy just to think your way out of it. But one of the ways of preparing, and years and years ago, I worked with Telecom Éireann, as it was at the time, when they were downsizing, preparing to become a private company. And we were dealing with a lot of people who were going to lose their job. And I think the most important thing to have is alternative activity. And I think if people thought for, you know, 6 months or a year before retirement, what can I do? And, you know, the old one is, I'll go play golf or I'll do this. And that doesn't work. You need to actually engage the intelligent mind, the productive mind, in some form or fashion of activity. And by thinking that out, and even at this late stage, a year later, it's a good thing to start thinking, what can I actively engage in?
Yeah, yeah. And
I think your point there, Gerry, is very good. And if I was mountaineering and I knew that I was going to slip down a hole and there was going to be the word drop, what would I need? I'd need, I presume, now I'm talking totally without a clue of what
sure,
I'm talking about.
Sure, yeah.
I presume I'd need a safety harness.
Yeah.
I'd need to tell somebody where I was going.
Yeah.
And that if I'm not back by a certain time, looking for me, or will you get the rescue, the Kerry Mountaineering rescue team out to look for me?
Yeah.
You know? So I'm preparing for it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a fair point. Preparation, you're talking along that in your life for that moment. Okay, if you have more on that, get in touch with us on the programme. If you have any comments for us, get in touch. We'll have more with Tony and Val and a problem shared after we take these. Oh, we won't. No, we will go to our next queries. Apology. We have a query in here, actually, we want to get to Tony and Val with straight away. Listeners, caller's 35-year-old daughter has very destructive behaviour around food and wonders if Val could advise the caller how to stop this. Now, the caller says her daughter's obsessed with food. A member of, you know, tried slimming and all of those things. Since joining, is totally obsessed with one of these clubs. Yes, she has lost a lot of weight and looks better, but her behaviour has become very controlling with herself and all around her. Now refusing to attend family events because of food issues and is constantly talking about food. This started during COVID and caller wonders if this is an outcome of the life changes to us all.
I think in a way that this might be kind of like the first situation, a focus that I had and it had to change. My advice, listener, is do not raise this issue with your daughter. Look the other way. And I know that's very hard. But once it's not life-threatening or damaging, don't be focusing on it. I mean, I don't know if Tony has any thoughts, and are you, Gerry?
Yeah, Tony, just no. Before we go to Tony, and on that, like, does it depend here on the information given to us how destructive or how bad the situation was for daughter before she started the Slim Club and started losing weight? Like, was her health in danger from that point of view? And if it now is improving, do you have to focus on the positives of that?
Yeah, what comes to mind, Gerry, is the term obsessive-compulsive. And was the daughter like that before? You're right, absolutely. And if she was obsessive about things, then there's no difference, except that the issues have become perhaps more focused. And very often, when people go on serious diets, I mean, I tend to avoid going to certain cafes or certain places because I don't want to be putting weight up. And just multiply that by 20 and you begin to get a picture. So her behaviour is probably obsessive to some extent, but as Val said, if it's not life-threatening or not going to cause a war, it's best ignored.
Yeah, yeah, it is in terms of that. And like you said, Val, the key thing is, as long as this doesn't become something that is affecting her health or goes too far.
Yeah, well, if it becomes something that's affecting her health, I do think, in hindsight, or I do think in foresight or midsight or whatever, yeah, that this affects other people. It's
yes,
not just like affecting Tony, as it were. It's affecting me and other people. So I do, it becomes my problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I would recommend in that stage is I'll stay out of it as much as I can. What can I do to help? And one, I have a recommendation that you seek professional help.
Yeah, yeah.
The words that stick with me is that she's lost weight and she's looking better, but her behaviour is somewhat compulsive. And that would take a lot of the worry out of it for me.
Yes. Why would that take the worry out of it, Tony? Because is it just about controlling about food or all aspects of her life, perhaps?
She's just controlling her life. Because, you know, she was evidently addicted to food. Mm. And if you're addicted to food and, you know, you're trying to work yourself around to being controlling, you can become over-controlling for a while.
Is it a fair point, the point that's made by the caller saying, look, this started during COVID. Is this an outcome of the life changes that have happened to us all? Lots of people changed course because of what happened over the last number of years.
Yeah, and a hell of a lot of people put up a lot of weight over COVID as well.
Yeah, and yeah, went the other direction.
And the other thing, of course, a lot of people became depressed during COVID. Mm. And that fallout is still going on. And, you know, in this particular instance, without having more information, I would say step back and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. And if it is due to COVID, why? And I think before COVID, we had goals, we had plans, we had kind of a social network and a social freedom, which we didn't have during COVID. But now, the first situation, replace, what can I replace it with?
Yeah, yeah, fair point. Look, for anyone who is concerned in this area, if it does become a situation, listener, where it's tipping over into the eating disorder level of situations, there is an organisation called Bodywise. Their helpline is 01-210-7906 if you were concerned about it getting that serious. I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but that's the number, 01-210-7906. My thanks to Tony and Val McGinley. A listener gets in touch querying whether Tony and Val do private consultations. Well, both Tony and Val are retired, don't do private consultations anymore. We're getting a couple of questions in along that. My thanks to Tony and Val for another great show.